I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option, and you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will drain it.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is a tweet from Just Jared that Lindsay's obsessed with. Felicity Huffman's youngest daughter, Georgia Macy, has... I'm sorry, her name is Georgia, like Georgia Rule. Okay, hold on. I just...
You couldn't even get to the end of the tweet.
I know.
Georgia has always made the rules.
Jesus, Georgia.
You do not take the Lord's name in vain.
Ow! Ah!
Lily's always been burned by them.
He's an idiot.
And I signed a prenuptial.
Go with this one.
And Rachel's always broken them.
Just had a disturbed eye.
I prefer unique.
Felicity Huffman's youngest daughter, Georgia Macy, has been accepted to college on her own accord. Period. Find out where she'll be attending here.
Which is hilarious because then they link to their own article, which has the headline, Felicity Huffman's daughter, Georgia May, reveals college acceptance to Vassar. On her own accord. On her own accord.
She added Vassar 2024 to her Instagram account.
On her own accord is like the shadiest shit ever. And you click that and it's not said again. Like the headline is different than that.
Mm-hmm.
This is Felicity Huffman's other daughter. Who should not be
other
punished
daughter.
For first
yeah.
daughter and Felicity Huffman's crimes. And also Felicity Mm-mm. did her time. Move on.
No, she did her time. That's the whole thing. She's allowed to move on now.
Lori Loughlin receives this press and is like,
for the rest of my life, I'm going to look at Georgia Macy's life and career and say, did you earn that? Imagine Georgia Macy in her classes. All of her teachers are going to be like,
You're literally like speaking to life this girl's number one fear.
I know, it's almost like bullying. So I'm sorry, Georgia.
It's truly the meanest thing maybe you've ever said aside from about stuff about Demi Lovato.
Georgia Rule, give Georgia the benefit of the doubt.
I would Georgia Rule in her favor. You know what I'm saying?
We eat at 6.
Georgia Rule.
Wash your dishes.
Georgia Rule.
I got your job.
One more rule.
You live here, you work.
No wonder mom hates you.
According to Pop Crave, today is the 15th anniversary of Lindsay Lohan's album Speak. Did you see that?
No. Congratulations.
Did you see that on Pop Crave?
Congratulations to that album. To that album. Yeah.
It spawned hit singles Rumors and two other ones I didn't remember.
That's one of those albums, though, that people really look back on more fondly than it deserves. Not that the reason why Lindsay Lohan's debut music album is good is because she didn't make one after that and it had like a few actual hits on it. But the album itself is not that good. You know, I mean, let's all just be honest with ourselves.
I don't know that I've ever listened to the entire thing,
right.
But I think that it's one of those things that's like that kind of music aged well in a sense that we are nostalgic for that particular kind of pop music. That's it. When you listen to rumors, you're like, oh, I'm far enough removed from like the joke of Lindsay Lohan that I can recognize that Rumors is just like a fun 2004 pop song.
But with the added bonus that it's Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. This is Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. We typically start with comments because we typically get things wrong or we leave things out unintentionally.
Which is the same as getting things wrong, but
arguably the same as getting things wrong.
But it sounds, you know, less.
It sounds better to say this. Malicious. Okay, let's talk about the first thing we got wrong / did not do enough research into.
Hey guys, Reed Capilano Bridge. I'm sure you have a lot of Canadian listeners / Vancouverites who are calling in to talk about the Capilano Bridge, but it's like a pretty popular tourist attraction and you can't drive on it. It's inside a park and it's like a suspended bridge, like one of those hanging ones where it moves a lot if you walk on it. And it, you know, it's suspended like over a gorge and a river and whatever. So I'm sure she was like, got taken to go see the bridge and go see the park. And then she was like, oh fuck, I'm on this bridge and I can't move or something like that. Anyway, that's what I'm picturing. I don't have any actual information, of course. All right, that MacBook. Bye.
Oh, a classic sign off.
That this MacBook. Is an example where I genuinely feel I should have Googled bridge.
When I Googled it, I was Googling it in the, I Googled, quote, Capilano Bridge, quote, Elizabeth Perkins. I was only looking for instances of them together. I wasn't looking for the bridge solo. And I was imagining like the Golden Gate. Also, I wouldn't do this.
I would.
A weird thing is I've gotten more and more afraid of heights as I've gotten older.
This looks like fun.
I'm incapable. I feel like I would have an Elizabeth. I would go all full Elizabeth Perkins on
this
bridge.
Did you see somebody tweeted at us about Elizabeth Perkins something different? And she retweeted the tweet of them tweeting at us.
I saw that.
That was a little wacky, no?
She's in the category of celebrity who's just like strange on, like, doesn't quite know what they're doing on Twitter, but is
an
active user.
That's a huge category.
And they retweet everything. And so a lot of celebrities, you have to disable their retweets because they retweet everything. Fun fact, a lot of people don't know that you can mute retweets of people.
Oh,
this
I do.
This is a very important feature. Some people don't know about this. Because I've talked to a lot of people who are like, do you follow X? And I'm like, yeah, but they retweet all the time, so I have to mute their retweets. And they're like, oh, I didn't know you can do that.
Well, that's why you got to retweet and write something. So those get out of the way. See, those
God,
people who turn off your retweets
You're
are...
such a hacker. Okay, so sorry to this woman, Elizabeth Perkins, that you had to deal with that, because that does sound like a nightmare.
Yeah,
like
I take
scene
back
in True Beverly Hills.
What we said about, you know, your 25 things, that one being interesting or weird. That makes total sense. That bridge
thing.
Is terrifying. Get off the bridge.
Did you smoke weed on weeds?
No, I drank and did cocaine.
Oh, okay.
Next call.
Hi, Eva Longoria is promoting another acid, glycolic acid. It's not as iconic as hyaluronic acid, but I thought everyone should know there's a new L'Oreal acid in town, and it's glycolic acid. Crunch, crunch.
My derm just let me in on her little anti-aging secret, glycolic acid.
New from Revitalift, Derm Intensives 10% Pure Glycolic Acid Serum.
It is wild that she doesn't pronounce it.
Glycolic acid.
Glycolic acid. Maybe it needs one more syllable.
They just said, hey, can we do another ad? It's the exact same concept, exact same words, but instead of hyaluronic acid, you're going to say glycolic acid. Because it's the exact same ad. Maybe
and
some acids pull better in other places.
Do you use glycolic or hyaluronic?
I use all the acids. Like I just, every night I just dunk my head in a bucket of actual acid, you know?
Point is, I should introduce some hyaluronic in my routine and I
Maybe
still
you
have
should.
It. Despite
Maybe you
should. How many times have I said hyaluronic acid in my life? More than most people.
Hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid.
I can't believe we're still saying it, to be honest.
We need everyone to tweet at L'Oreal because we're going to need a fan demanded cut of the Eva Longoria video where she enunciates glycolic syllable by syllable.
It's easy to pronounce glycolic. I'm not sure
but
she needs to.
But we need the fan Fan demanded cut. I forgot that's what they called the Hillary Duff cut of Sparks without the like Tinder promo or Hinge, whatever it was. Fan demanded cut.
Release the original. Nobody
release
wants
the fan demanded yeah. cut nobody, at L'Oreal.
Nobody wants that.
I do. Really weaponize our fans.
This is not how we're going to be doing it.
Okay, next call.
Hi, Hiroki. Long time. This is embarrassing, but I hope I'm not the only dumb American who is listening to your story about Ryan Mark Parsons. It was not until I Googled this man's name that I realized he did not drop 1,000 pounds, like half a ton of caviar in his foot. I thought he, I don't know, help. He didn't, I, help.
We're dumb Americans. It's hard to tell the difference between pounds and pounds.
Since we are two Americans on an American-based podcast, we should have been clear that we were reading. Well, I mean, I thought it was clear because it was The Apprentice UK that I was reading, like, The Mirror. So they would say 1,000 pounds. 1,000 pounds, the money. It cost 1,000 pounds.
And 1,000 pounds of expensive caviar might not weigh many pounds.
No, it doesn't actually weigh that many pounds, but it was enough pounds to hurt his toe, but not enough pounds to be 1,000 pounds. You would lose your toe. Also, he wouldn't be able to hold the caviar. Where'd that caviar come from? And that caviar would have cost a lot of money. Maybe, you know, millions and millions of dollars. 1,000 pounds.
You can buy caviar from Walmart.com.
Yeah.
35 ounces of Golden Imperial Russian caviar is $3,200. 32 Whoa. Ounces. So that's maybe 2 pounds. So 1 pound of that is about $1,500. So you know what? That's probably closer to, so that's like a two pound thing falling on you. 2 pound the weight.
Oh, I was doing the math as to how much money it would cost for 1,000 pounds of coffee.
I'm going to see.
It's a lot of money.
In pounds. $3,200 in pounds. Okay, so that's 2,400 pounds. Let's say $1,300 is 1,000 pounds. So yeah, it would take less than a pound of high quality caviar to be 1,000 pounds, the British money.
Yeah, so it'd be expensive. This was also expensive caviar, it just didn't weigh 1,000 pounds.
But you know, even whenever something small lands on your foot is very sensitive.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I understand. Uh-huh. Also, he heard the podcast. He appreciated it.
So glad. Thanks, Ryan Mark, for tuning in.
Thanks for listening. I hope you still listen and don't just listen to one. And if you do listen to just one, still rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, because that'd be really nice.
Yes.
I'm a who and I love it. Something like that. You know, I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got a lot of calls about Flintstones vitamins. We got a lot of parents. Most of them, I can't even play all of them because it would be too insane. Most of them were like, either my kids don't know what Flintstones vitamins are, or my kids reject Flintstones vitamins because they're not gummies. Here's my actual favorite one.
So my kids are 6 and 2. Flintstone vitamins were offered and respectfully declined. It's all about the gummy vitamins now. I don't know how our parents managed to convince us that Flintstone vitamins were, quote, like candy. But these kids are not touching anything if it's not a gummy bear. But honestly, I think it's all a conspiracy from the dentist because kids have way more cavities now from the gummy vitamins. But I'm with you. Flintstone vitamins, total bit. Crunch, crunch.
The Flintstones vitamins do have gummies, a gummy version. They even have a sour gummy version.
They were too late to market.
But I honestly agree that unless you're going to go original OG Flintstone, yeah. We're not going for it. You know,
here's another call. I'm gonna play two more.
Hi, I paused your podcast about the Flintstones vitamins because finally something I know. I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 4-year-old. They don't know who Flintstones vitamins are. They know what gummy vitamins are, but I'm telling you, Flintstones vitamins are still them. Crunch, crunch.
Wow, when you admit that your kids don't know, but also you stand by your own nostalgia, like without fault.
I think it's a good idea, and I stand by. And then this one, I think, is the one that they... This is the real wild call. This is the wild call.
Millennials can fuck off about Flintstone vitamins because that's our Gen Xers shit, all right? So fuck off. Get your own stuff. Leave my fucking boomer parents alone, all right? Only I can make fun of them. So fuck off. Look, you have more than one flavor? Fuck you. The only like, acceptable flavor of Flintstone vitamins is fucking chalk. And if you didn't grow up eating that shit... I don't want to fucking hear what you have to say, millennials. It's not your shit. Get your own thing. Thank you. And don't eat them in the fucking balloons.
This is my, I think this is directed at us too.
No, it's a Gen Xer saying that millennials, he's saying, it's a Gen Xer saying Flintstones vitamins are Gen X things, not millennial things. But he's not thinking of older millennials, which is the category we fall into. Because my brother, my parents are boomers. My brother is a Gen Xer, technically, but I'm technically a millennial.
I'm just saying I'm going to give this to him. I don't care about the, the nuance of the generation, you know, categorization, but I'm giving this Gen Xer Flintstone vitamins. He can have it, truly. Millennials have enough bad nostalgia that we can claim as ours. I'm happy to let Gen X talk, you know, have this chalk vitamin.
Oh, sure. Take it.
Yeah.
That's such a passionate call. Okay. So now that we're done with comments, let's do questions. We always switch to questions at some point. Wow. We're switching to questions before the 30-minute mark. Good for us.
Yeah, truly.
Wow. We're really growing up.
Hi, Who Weekly. Who is Miss Juicy?
I love Miss Juicy. Miss Juicy has been on our, you know, feeds. I'm gonna say on our radar, but on our feeds for years now. I can't believe we haven't talked about her yet.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of wild. I think she's one of those people we kind of take for granted because she's such a major part of meme culture. And when you being on the internet in 2019 means being exposed to Miss Juicy constantly, like so often that you might go like face blind towards her.
And I just realized that Miss Juicy is topical because Little Women is coming out in theaters December. I forget, but I think it's around Christmas.
I think Christmas Day.
And Miss Juicy stars in a TV show called Little Women that when I scroll by it on TV, I always think that it's the movie Little Women. And I'm like, ooh. And then I click it. I'm like, oh, right. Every time it gets me. Single time.
What are you expecting? The Greta Gerwig movie? Or are you expecting the Susan Sarandon movie? Like, what's your
Any
brain expecting?
Version
when it
of Little Women, I will click on to say, oh, Little Women. But then it's like, oh, no, it's Little Women LA or Little Women, you know, it's the different Little Women.
It's a lesson for everybody. We all got to take care of ourselves.
None of us can afford to lose any of us.
No matter what we go through.
This season on Little Women Atlanta.
Can you feel yourself?
The different Little Women. So Miss Juicy has an actual name. Miss Juicy has a nickname. Her name is Charlene King Pearson. She wasn't even what I love about Miss Juicy. I think a really fun reality narrative is whenever you are not part of the OG cast, but you become the most famous one.
Yes.
Which is sort of a Cardi B thing.
Angie from Mob Wives did that, right?
Mm-hmm. Angie from Mob Wives. Miss Ange. Big Ange. Who else did that? I don't think this is like identical, but Lisa Rinna was a late stage housewife and she became really popular really quickly. Of course, it helped that she was independently famous.
Right.
But sometimes new cast members don't stick. And yes. Miss Juicy and a lot of other women, they stuck. They came in.
They stuck.
She was sort of a radio person before she was a radio personality in Atlanta, before she became
a
television personality.
She was a local celebrity, almost like a Howard Stern sidekick type personality within Atlanta on the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, which was like a pretty popular syndicated show that was out of.
So it's all over the country and other places. But if you listen to Ricky Smiley, you knew who Miss Juicy was. And her nickname, was this a five things you didn't know about?
100%. It definitely was. Absolutely. Number two on the five things you got to know about Miss Juicy.
Her name came from a tattoo that she has that says Juicy Enough.
Ricky was trying to think of a name for her. And she had a tattoo that already said Juicy Enough, so we called her Miss Juicy.
All right, y'all, Rick's Mind the Morning Show. A lot going on this morning, man. The devil is a lie, and we're going to rebuke him right now. 10 minutes after the hour. Juicy, now, what's going on? Because you've been with her how many years?
12.
I don't actually watch Little Women, the show, which is kind of a disappointing thing for me to say. But what I love about it is reading about it was just really fun. It the way that this website described the show, where they just this is how their intro was. Who will ever forget the chicken wing saga, the restraining order, Minnie gate crashing, Miss Juicy's birthday party in season 3, and Minnie following Miss Juicy's footstep with a radio career? Like, all those words? What does that even
mean? Who could forget
the chicken wing saga? But the reason why we know Miss Juicy is because she is literally the center of like 12 different memes that are floating around at one time.
The two of the best memes, one of which is this, which you will recognize immediately, I'm sure.
What the hell we gonna do now?
God, and I love, and you get the, and you get that classic reality show like symbols.
Well, just a really great, it's, I guess, some, yeah, it's a really great clip of a moment that, you know, somebody leaves a room and it pans to them.
My favorite instance of this, I think, was when Hustlers came out, and I think it was Hunter Harris tweeted, it was like Martin Scorsese, Steven Spielberg. Yeah, it was like all these white men directors. It was like Martin Scorsese, Steven Spielberg, whatever, after seeing Hustlers.
What the hell are we gonna do now?
I mean, it's true. It's a universally applicable meme. You can put this anywhere.
I mean, but should we say what Little Women is? I don't think even said it.
Little Women. God, we're so bad at explaining things.
It's not a book.
And that's the show.
There's two things. It's a book. It's a Louisa May Alcott book.
And it's also a reality show about little people, women, little people.
Little, yes.
Who are friends. Groups of little people friends who are women.
Yes.
And this is specifically the one that's in Atlanta. So it's these like groups of little people who are friends and like the drama. I mean, you all know all reality shows are the same. It's groups of people who are frenemies and they fight and they go through shit. And this just happens to be about little people.
So she came
in. And Miss Ducey is one of them.
She came in and she caused drama. This is from Vice.com, did a nice long profile on her, how Miss Ducey became the queen of all Atlanta. They said, she accuses Minnie of lying about dating the Atlanta rapper Pastor Troy. Quote, when you're trying to make someone believe something, you can't be messy, Ducey says. Since the show ended, Minnie has alleged that the rapper has impregnated her. Troy demanded a DNA test and Ducey continued to call Minnie a liar. She seems terrible. Accusing Minnie of using Troy in a failed attempt to increase her relevancy in Atlanta. I understand that everybody wants to be in my position and be like me, but I didn't lie to get there, Ducey said. You gonna taint your image because I'm telling the truth? When I asked Ducey if she would consider Minnie a friend, she responds with a line straight out of Southern Charm Handbook. We're cordial. Ducey causes drama.
You ain't nobody.
I ain't nobody.
You only Miss Minnie.
Okay.
Like
but
I said,
I
you
somebody.
Try to steal identity. Miss Minnie, baby. When the hell you start using Miss Minnie, baby?
I been doing that. You know that.
Damn
you know that.
You been doing
you
Miss Minnie.
You
everybody
know
that.
That
know me know that my tagline is Miss Ducey, baby.
Okay.
Not all of a sudden.
Okay.
It's Miss Minnie, baby.
So the what the hell we gonna do now meme isn't the only meme that she's inspired. She also stars in a very popular meme. This is just me trying to describe a photo, so love a meme. There's one where there's a picture of a guy with his head on the table and she's in the background being like, ooh, that's one.
it's like watching people cry.
And then there's another one where it's
she's
a side-by-side image and it's she's under a blanket looking up with her eyes wide and someone on the other side is like trying to tell her something. It's the explain.
It's like a passionate explanation, desperate for your approval, desperate for you to understand your explanation. And then the response is sort of emotionless and over it and disinterested and done. So it's sort of usually it's like me talking to my mom not listening.
It's like Bobby telling me about a new like hot gay man he found on Instagram and then me like listening.
Me. That's you. oh my God.
And Little Women's on Lifetime? Lifetime. Is it on Lifetime?
Lifetime? Yeah, it's on Lifetime. Next call.
Hi, Lifetime. What is Jennifer Love Hewitt's Instagram? The grid is just like holiday and turkey cartoons that are like out of focus and also like deviled eggs with jalapenos on top, like just like holiday inspirational quotes. Please explain. Crunch crunch.
I don't really know that there's anything to explain. It's Jennifer Love Hewitt. She's got a basic Instagram. That's it. But
it's kind
it
of,
is really funny
her
to
Instagram
me.
Is just very
it's Pinterest-y.
Sweet mom Pinterest basic. She's mm-hmm. got a lot of, you know, the signs that you would see at a Cracker Barrel. She's got topical holiday humor. She's just, you know, she's trying to keep
coffee
up with the meme
humor.
Accounts. Coffee humor.
Coffee humor. Terrible photos of food that she cooked. Photos of her kissing her husband.
It's just normal.
A lot of inspirational Nelson Mandela quotes.
It's just normal.
Above quotes, above a photo of a anthropomorphized taco looking at his watch saying, time for tacos.
Okay.
Is the taco eating the taco? Because if so, that's disgusting.
that's not something that Jennifer Love Hewitt is going to investigate. This is just her feed full of things that she likes, okay?
The only thing a cartoon food should be saying is, don't eat me.
Please. What?
Don't eat me.
Is her deal.
I was sort of wondering, like, if this is sort of my gut instinct, which I don't know if, I don't know, it's rude, but I'm not sure, like, in what capacity it's particularly rude, but I was like,
not sure how it's like, rude, but I know it's rude.
I know it's rude, but I was like, oh no, poor Jennifer Love Hewitt, I hope she's okay. But then I looked
her
up and I was like, she's fine. She's starring in 9-1-1, your favorite
show
that you stopped
watching.
She's on
the second season. They replaced
Connie Britton.
Connie Britton was busy to go.
Connie Britton was like, wait, I'm not doing this.
Right, which is so interesting to me because 9-1-1 is very successful, even though it's terrible. So Connie really must be trying to, you know, do.
So she is the new 9-1-1 operator.
Yeah, she's like, I'm her sister.
And
she
gets
died.
The calls
or
like,
that
are like,
what? I forget because I didn't really watch the second season. I only watched season
one. What sorts of things are the 9-1-1 operators getting calls about?
Oh, what do you mean? That's the entire show. It's like, oh,
extreme,
there's a tsunami,
right?
You know? Oh, this guy is stuck between two buildings. Oh, this dog is, you know, stuck on a high wire.
My daughter fell down a well.
Down a well. There's a baby. Somebody flushed the baby and there's a baby in the tube. I'm serious.
911, what is your emergency?
Help, please. Can't breathe.
What is your location, sir?
Ocean Park, Lincoln, by the sushi place.
Sushi restaurant, Ocean Park Boulevard, Lincoln Boulevard. Are you having tightness in your chest, pain in your arms?
My favorite thing about 911 is that the...
What's your favorite thing about 911?
Well, no, the...
It's so clearly not 9/11. It's 9/11.
I know. They overdo it. They over... Like, the hyphens between each letter are, like, way bigger than they need to be. Okay. Because it's like, don't call this 9/11. It's like... Don't you fucking dare call this 911.
Like calling
it's
the car.
Nine?
She.
One? That's how you have to say it. Oh, Jennifer Love Hewitt. She's the star of my favorite show. 9-1-1.
It's in case you were wondering why it's like the most shameless show on television. It was created by Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk. And so it's basically the politician masquerading as a primetime cop show. You know, it knows that it's here to be ridiculous. It's made by the king of the two kings of ridiculous. They also just literally ordered a spinoff. That's how successful it is, called 9-1-1 Lone Star, starring Rob Lowe and Liv Tyler.
So it's just 911 in Texas.
911 Texas. 911 Lone Star will star Rob Lowe as a sophisticated New York firefighter who, along with his son, relocates to Austin. There, he must balance saving those who are most vulnerable with solving the problems in his own life.
Move these people back. Give us some room to work.
You mean give us some room to work? This scene is medical, so I run the call. In Texas, you do what I say. Taking care
of business. In Austin, God, it's going to be so popular. I love when Liv acts.
Yeah.
I love it.
Put a clip from her house tour right here.
This ivy didn't used to be here, which is a really nice thing to have in New York City. And it grew into our neighbor's house, and they're actually my friends. The basement is secretly my favorite place in the whole house. We do a lot of stair climbing every day, up and down. There's construction going on everywhere, and airplanes. I'm really happy about my landline, actually. Most people don't have it anymore, but I'm never letting it go.
So this, yes, the caller said it's filled with Instagram memes and all this stuff, but like, it's to an overwhelming extent. It's not just one or two. It's 80% Instagram memes and sayings and photos of the Grinch and a Grinch drinking coffee and somewhat right. Like a 50s drawing of a woman holding a martini saying,
question.
Oh, here comes that bitch Monday.
Is it memes or is it just cartoons from old newspapers? And signs that you get in the Cracker Barrel. Like, that's
cartoons
what I'm saying.
Newspapers,
you're
signs
calling
that you get
her
from the
meme tides, but what she really is essentially
she's
just,
not meme tides.
You know, like a mom who loves
who's
to share images.
Screenshotting stuff on her phone and then reposting it on Instagram.
Yes.
What I'm mostly interested in seeing, what would be amazing, because, so, I think that someone, maybe this already exists, but like, when you look at someone's, a public person's profile, a profile that's not private, you can see everyone they're following, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would be really cool is to have some sort of plugin. I'm sure there's a coder who can do this, where you could type in the name of a public profile and see what their feed looks like. Like, I would love to know what Jennifer Love Hewitt's Instagram feed
looks like. Oh, but that is not, that would be a nice, that would be like a hack, but Instagram would never do that.
They would like disable it immediately, but I would love to know. Right. Cause you could do it, and I could do it one by one. I could click through every single person she's following.
You could make a dummy account that's just Jennifer Love Hewitt dummy account.
Sure. But it's like, I want to see what happens whenever, like, let's just look at just some random names from her Instagram following list. Oh, happy day. Bonjour, fete. Dip and dripped. And then it's like Batman of Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Shav's paper. An account that sells paper. Okay. Like, this is, there's no way her feed is not completely crazy.
I mean, she might also just be getting these from Pinterest or Facebook or whatever. We've talked about Jennifer Love Hewitt before. I think it was a who or them context. And I think the answer was like she's moving into whodom, essentially, with losing her kind of main audience, which would be a millennial.
Teens.
A millennial, like us when we were teenagers, because let's say her peak was the peak of kind of pop culture in terms of the way that we see it, which was 1999. She literally hosted SNL in 1998, which I would say is kind of, could be considered her peak ish. She was on Party of Five. She was in a bunch of movies. She released like 4 music albums. Speaking of, she actually had a very prolific career for how many years that she got to do. You know, she did it for a relatively short amount of time. She did a lot of shit.
Yeah. She also wrote a book called,
that's crazy,
it's the longest title I've ever seen in my entire life. It's a best-selling dating advice book called, this is the full title, The Day I Shot Cupid, Hello, my name is Jennifer Love Hewitt, and I'm a loveaholic. Commonly abbreviated to The Day I Shot Cupid. But no, the full title, The Day I Shot Cupid, Hello, my name is Jennifer Love Hewitt, and I'm a loveaholic.
I don't really understand like what that means.
It's dating advice. She gives personal dating experience and gives advice to both men and women on dating life and what to look for in a partner.
Later in her career, which when you maybe lost track of her, she was on this show called Ghost Whisperer for a million years. This show went on forever. And then she was on a show called The Client List.
Which is a movie first and then TV movie first.
She got engaged to a guy on Ghost Whisperer that she met on Ghost Whisperer. And then she got engaged to a guy she met on The Client List, and that's her husband now. And they have 2 kids, which I think that's interesting. Nice. Yeah.
Okay. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
up.
And
we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother, and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
that. Of their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories.
Any
the
good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. That helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/who. That's StoryWorth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase. Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, if I can't, actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour is over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Next call.
This call is more for Bobby because, as we all know, Lindsay chose in the great streaming wars to support the morning show. And Bobby picked The Mandalorian. I just watched the new episode, episode 5. And besides Amy Sedaris, there was another notable guest star, this hot young guy who, once it ended, I learned his name was Jake Cannavale. And I decided to do some Googling. And I thought, oh, Cannavale. I wonder if he's related to Bobby Cannavale. Turns out, he's Bobby Cannavale's son. He's 24 years old. Bobby Cannavale is 49. I did not realize Bobby Cannavale had an adult son. That was news to me. He's not Rose Burns' daughter, though. Turns out Bobby Cannavale was married to Jenny Lumet. And I thought, Lumet, that's a familiar name. It turns out Jenny Lumet is Sidney Lumet, the director's daughter. And wow, two layers of Hollywood nepotism in this Jake Cannavale kid is pretty remarkable. But then it turns out there's another layer. So, Jake Cannavale's great-grandmother is Lena Horne. Apparently, Jenny Lumet's mom's mom is Lena Horne. So Jake Cannavale is not only related to Bobby Cannavale and, I guess, Rose Byrne as well, but also Sidney Lumet and Lena Horne. Is this the most random and incredible story of Hollywood nepotism? I think so.
Jake Cannavale, I was watching the episode, the Mandalorian episode with him in it. And
what is he in it?
He's a fledgling bounty hunter. Like, he wants to be, he's a young bounty hunter, and he's
Is he good?
He's good. No, well, as in a good actor or a good guy, bad guy?
A good actor.
He's good. No, he's perfectly capable. He's supposed to be like a, he's supposed to be a little whippersnapper, sort of. And so it's like the show is for babies. So it's like,
right,
he wants to be in the bounty hunter guild, but then they're like, well, you have to get this really, really hard to catch bounty to do it. And so the Mandalorian needs money. And so he's like, I'll help you get this bounty hunter so that you can get into the guild. Basically, the Mandalorian did all the work. But then Jake Cannavale realizes that the Mandalorian is worth more money. So he decides to turn his back on the Mandalorian and try to kill the Mandalorian instead. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the episode, he dies. Like, he's only in one episode, Jake Cannavale. But I was like, the whole time I was like, oh, this is like a cute guy. Like, this is a cute young actor. He's probably going to be something. This seems like the type of show that's going to like introduce people. And then I realized at one point I was like, he looks like Bobby Cannavale. And I think I even said that out loud. And I wasn't thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it's over, it's showing you the credits. And it was like, you know, Pedro Pascal, Amy Sedaris, because Amy Sedaris is almost also in that episode of The Mandalorian. And then it's like Jake Cannavale. And I was like, oh, God damn it. Of course it's fucking Bobby Cannavale's son. Bobby Cannavale, as we all know, is part of Hollywood's potentially hottest couple, Bobby Cannavale and Rose Byrne. Everyone loves Rose Byrne and Bobby Cannavale. I feel like that's true, right? Like, everyone loves,
I mean, they're just like a sweet, they've been in a lot of movies together, or they've done work together, so that makes it even more compelling. And people really like her, and he is good in kind of everything he does. I mean, he, you know, he's good in everything from like everything from The Irishman to literally when he was in the Annie remake, which was terrible, he was like kind of good in it. He played Rooster, you know, like he is. And so
he's
was great, she in Rose Brosper,
and he's great too. And he's great in The Station Agent, and he's great
he's
in literally
great.
Everything
he's
ever
great.
Done
he's
so he great. Before he got with Rose Byrne, though, he was married to Hollywood royalty Jenny
as you
Lumet.
Heard as you heard.
And that was a pretty substantial relationship. They were married. They had a kid. This is the kid. What is the play they're going to be in together? Like, they're about to be on stage together. That's like, smolder.
Yeah, Madea. They're doing Madea at BAM.
Madea. But I think the Lena Horne thing is probably the craziest thing because I guess I didn't realize that the Lumet family was also nepotism. Like, Lumet is nepotism in part because of Lena Horne.
Right.
Which is wild. I truly didn't know that until this call.
So this kid was on, I think he played a kid on Nurse Jackie early on, and he did theater. And then one of the things is that he's like fourth generation Broadway theater actor too. If it goes all the way back. I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting because his mom, Jenny Lumet, is most known for writing Rachel Getting Married, which was a long time ago. And that was kind of her big claim to fame, is that obviously her mother was Lena Horne, but also, or her grandmother was Lena Horne, but that she wrote Rachel Getting Married. And then more recently, in 2017, she came out against Russell Simmons. She said that he assaulted her. And that was kind of big news for a while.
When you were the son of Sidney Lumet and the granddaughter of Lena Horne, like, I'm sure you don't really have to work.
Well, that's what I'm kind of guessing.
And then she was like, fuck it.
Truly.
I don't want to. But yeah, he's very much like a Maya Hawke situation. It's that exact age that all of the nepotism beneficiaries are right now. They're in their early 20s. They're on all the hot stuff. And I'm sure he's going to be very successful because he looks like his parents and he's, you know, got their phone numbers.
If he already landed the big account in The Mandalorian as The Mandalorian, it's pretty big. He's not The Mandalorian?
No. He's Pedro Pascal's The Mandalorian. Seeing Amy Sedaris holding Baby Yoda is one of the strangest things.
Yeah. I know. I don't see it, but I assume.
She's essentially his babysitter in the episode.
Wait, what?
Well, she's a mechanic.
Why is this Amy like a Sedaris sitcom?
Amy Sedaris has a
Is
mechanic.
The Mandalorian a sitcom? Is Tim and Allen so the, on it? Has Ray Romano be, showed up? Like,
it could
is,
arguably be a sitcom.
It When you describe it, you're like, when Amy Sedaris holds Baby Yoda, like, that's a sitcom.
Great. I don't know. Let Pelle take a good look at you. All right, go.
I love the caller called out the fact that your team morning show and I'm team Mandalorian when it comes
it's
to like
sick.
New it's NU sick. Streaming 2019
it's sick.
Properties.
It's
what are
sick.
We anti? What's the one show we won't watch? Neither of us. Is there one show neither of us will watch?
Yes. The Walking Dead is one.
Oh, yeah.
We both don't
watch
that.
Oh, the Mad About You remake on Spectrum. The Spectrum original Mad
the
About
Spectrum
You reboot.
The Spectrum original Mad About You remake we both will not be watching.
I tried, but I'm not a Spectrum subscriber.
No, you didn't try.
I tried. I went to spectrum.com and I was like, how do I do this?
There's nothing funnier than being like, oh, so excited that the Mad About You remake is coming and then seeing it's on a Spectrum original and being like, well, I don't have access to that. I can't say that.
Well, not even I don't have access to it. I feel like even if you did have access to it, you wouldn't know. Even if you were a Spectrum subscriber, how do you get there? I don't know how to get there.
I don't even know if I am a Spectrum subscriber, how would I figure that out?
The funniest category of tweet is like, I've been seeing it more and more lately where people are like, wait, how do I watch a Spectrum original? It's like very earnest. Like, I want to know how to do this.
Because these people desperately want to watch the Mad About You reboot.
Because you have to, it's such a weird antiquated system because you have to subscribe to Spectrum cable, which is crazy. So you have to have regular cable to get the streaming editions. But I think they don't even stream. I think you're doing it through the cable box.
I was just searching what Jake was in on Broadway, and I literally saw the show. He played Larry David's son. Remember when Larry David
did a play?
Oh, yeah,
Fish Out of the Dark, or Fish Out of Water,
Fish
Whatever. Did you
see that Fish in the Dark? I saw it. It was whatever, but it was...
I almost saw it, and then you were like, don't see it, and so I didn't see it.
That's not even the worst thing I do. You know, I now have this little baby who I just can't stop kissing, you know?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, the 21-year-old, he won't kiss me. And he's like, he smells bad. He's got tattoos. He's got hair everywhere. And he's literally the only guy on the planet that I'm dying to kiss me. And he won't kiss me. I can't.
This episode is for two things that we've been meaning to talk about for a long time. One of them was Miss Juicy. The other one is this call.
Hi, Who Weekly. This is Gwen from New York. Just a quick question. Louis Capaldi, who or them? I think maybe UK them, rest of the world who? But I don't know. All his shows here in New York sold out. And it keeps popping up in my dreams and it's getting weird. Just who or them? Thanks. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
This is, I want to say two things about this call. One, it's slightly old. So this person called maybe right around the time that he was kind of at the top of the charts in the UK and hadn't really crossed over into the US, which was a few months ago. We tried Someone to answer the loved. Question. It was less interesting. But since then, he's kind of been everywhere. So we couldn't not answer the question, even though we'd already tried once and it got cut because it was boring. Or did it make it to Patreon? I forget.
No. It didn't make it anywhere.
Okay. It was really.
We love our patrons way too much. Subscribe at patreon.com/whoweekly.
Here's the second thing that I think is really funny about that call is that as Americans, we only have a limited way to describe people. Like, we are like, Adele? He's Adele, but X.
But he's not even from England.
You know how people are like, it's Uber for Y? That's what people say is like the worst way to call uh-huh. your company is. It's Uber for lamps. It's Uber for chairs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Louis Capaldi falls into the category of us saying, it's Adele, but Scottish. Somebody to know, somebody to have, somebody to hold. It's easy to say, but it's never the same. I guess I kinda like the way you numbed all the pain. Now the day bleeds into nightfall, and you're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you. Any singer who sings like adult contemporary slow music is Adele, essentially.
Who doesn't have an American accent.
John Legend? Adele. He's Adele.
He's Adele, but man American. He's a man American. Adele.
Adele.
Louis Capaldi? He's Adele. If you have a good voice, you're Adele.
No, it's true, though. It's so
Adele
funny.
Adele is the Kleenex of good voice.
It's true. It's like if you are singing adult contemporary
Adele
music.
Adele is the Kleenex of good voice. What the fuck?
Okay. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, yes.
That make sense? I think it makes sense.
Adele is the Kleenex of good voice. Yes.
When I came to the realization that Louis Capaldi was someone who exists and was a singer, I was like, oh, Capaldi, he must be Peter Capaldi's son. I just like, because nepotism is such a thing. I have nepotism brain. I clicked and I was like, oh, he's Peter Capaldi's son and he has a singing career. Congrats. Like, you're so talented. Wow, I'm so proud of you. He's not Peter Capaldi's son. He's like what? He's like second niece and second nephew or something. Like,
it's
he's barely related
cousin,
to him.
Cousin second removed or something is
cousin
Peter
removed.
Capaldi, who... Which is interesting to me because Peter Capaldi is very famous over there, but he's not famous. He's a Doctor Who guy.
He's a Doctor Who guy, but I think he's definitely a Who here. He's a them there. If you look at him, you're like, oh, it's that guy.
Niche like fame too. So even if he was nepotism Capaldi, it wouldn't work in the U.S. What I'm saying.
Wait, can nepotism? Does it still count as nepotism if it's just the last name? You know, it's sort of like that Coppola, the Coppola who's not technically.
No, it does count because nepotism is more than just people having heard of you. Nepotism is the whole structure by which you got to do what you're doing. The whole, you know, reason why you have access to spend time to become famous. You know what I mean?
So it's like it's still a shade of nepotism.
It is, because nepotism
is
a
shade. You're missing some of the machinery that leads to it because you don't really have the access, but you do have the name, which gets people interested. If my last name were Gerwig, like, would I be taken more seriously, even though I'm not related to the Gerwigs?
You're asking the opposite, and my answer is, if you were trying to write a movie or you were in Hollywood...
And my name was Bobby Spielberg.
And you're Bobby Spielberg. People would at first be like, Stevenson? Huh. And you'd be like, you wouldn't say anything.
No, I'd be like, are you Steven? Are you related to Steven? I'd be like, oh.
It would get you in the door, and then they'd be like, this is not Steven's son. This guy's not even Jewish. You'd be like, dee 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 dee. Here's my script.
Look at that dude. No.
But this is against all, this is not even relevant to Louis Capaldi because I don't think that he got a huge boost from having the same last name and was adjacent to this Peter Capaldi.
But he did make me think that he was nepotism, but he's not. He has this song, Someone You Love. We haven't even said what the hell he's famous for.
He's a singer, guys. He's a singer,
but it's because of the song Someone You Love, which is everywhere
and
still.
And I want to be clear, we've already spoke around it. He's Scottish, which is really cool.
He's Scottish. It's really cool. Sound like Britney Spears, which is really cool. That's pretty cool.
Okay, cool. Really, really cool and exciting. Very cool. Really, a really cool song. It's really different and interesting.
No, well, when was the last time we had a Scottish pop singer who came out and was popular? So it's just, that's what I'm saying. You know, we have Irish pop singers.
Oh, wait, you know when the last time we had a Scottish pop singer? Katie Tunstall.
Oh, fuck. It was literally last week.
Literally last episode. Oh. When's the last time? Oh, we love the Scots.
Wait, that's so funny. It's literally last time.
When's the last time? And it's like, suddenly I remember.
Other Scottish pop singers. Annie Lennox. Sheena Easton.
Oh, you're good at this. Who else?
Calvin Harris.
Keep talking. I just Googled Scottish pop singers.
Sure. Lee Manson. Oh, and the lead singer of that band that I love. High Voice. Lauren Mayberry. What's the lead singer? She's the lead singer of what's that band?
High Voice.
Churches.
Oh, Churches. I love Churches.
Yeah, that's all I got.
High Voice. High Voice. She's got a high voice. And then, you know, then there's Susan Boyle, also Scottish.
Uh-huh.
Love her. What else? So Lewis Capaldi's thing is like, I'm funny.
Also, I've got to my hotel last night, right? I've went for a shite. I'm be honest with you, and I'm sorry, I always talk about going to the toilet, right? But this is an emergency. There's a fucking, I've used the toilet last night. Okay, I've used the toilet. And I've had the fucking, won't flush, it's stuck there. And I'm like, right, where's the fucking toilet brush? There's no fucking toilet brush. I've got someone coming here to put makeup on my face later on. I think it's a lady. I think I've been told it's a lady. And she's going to come in here and she's going to go, can I use a bathroom? And I'll go, no. And she'll go in and she'll be a big pile of fucking dirty toilet paper. And I'll have to say, no, listen, I saw it. And she'll run out the door fucking screaming. At what point does a hotel say, right, we're going to put a toilet in here that can't handle three fucking wipes of an arse? And then we're not going to put a plunger or a fucking toilet brush in here. Bastards can charge $5 for a bottle of fucking water in the room and can't give me a fucking toilet brush.
Dopey little funny dude. That's his whole thing, right?
He is funny.
But that's his very outspoken character trait. Like,
well,
he's like, I'm the funny, silly 22-year-old. If you did a little, one of those, like, look, I'm a celeb babymorph.org,
yes,
and you did Adele and Ed Sheeran, you'd get something pretty close to Peter Capaldi.
Pretty good.
Lewis Capaldi.
He just has also a very good sense of humor about what's going on in his career and life, mm-hmm, and just seems genuinely surprised by the whole thing, which, mm-hmm, I think is the best reaction to have and the one that gets you the best kind of fan reaction, which is just, what the fuck is going on? When he went number one in the US, he changed his Twitter name to America's Sweetheart. And painted a flag on his face, which is hilarious to me.
He painted a really ugly American flag on his face, which is honestly what we deserve. This is very funny.
LA Times wrote a piece about him and wrote, is Lewis Capaldi a Brit with a canyon-sized voice and ugly cry smash the new Adele? Literally, we cannot. They said he's game for most things, it seems, except that is being constantly labeled by music press as the male Adele or the Scottish Ed Sheeran, which I literally just did. But that is, we can't do it any other way. We're unable to do it.
They describe him as a slightly doughier Paul McCartney circa Rubber Soul.
They're not wrong, though. God. They're not wrong, because he did the aging thing. He's going on tour with Nile, which is, mm-hmm, very smart. And they did the aging thing on their face, that app, and he looks exactly like Paul
and
McCartney.
It's like, and like Niall Horan age looks like hunky sugar daddy, and he just straight up looks like Paul McCartney now.
It's true. The other thing about Lewis Capaldi is he got in a fight with Noel Gallagher.
Music is fucking wank at the moment. Who's this Capaldi fella?
Lewis Capaldi.
The fuck's that idiot?
He is. I'm going to stand up for him. He's funny as fuck.
It's because he's Scottish?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Scottish are... These fuckers, if they found out Hitler was fucking Scottish, they'd go, ah, the wee man was just a wee bit misunderstood, so he was, eh?
He likes a drink.
His name fucking Adolf, man.
Noel Gallagher barely thinks he's, like, he himself is good. Noel Gallagher hates everything. Are we done with this? You also said he's famous because of shit like this. And what shit like this is, it's like, he's good online because he's a Gen Zer. He's good online.
He's great online. He does these long Instagram stories.
Front-facing video stories.
People like a relatable king. And he's also this kind of, you know, when we were all obsessed with Drake, when Drake did really sad self-hating music.
Deprecating,
We love like a self-hating, self-deprecating pop star, and that is kind, mm-hmm, of what his songs are, at least right now. I can't believe he's 22 years old. Oh my god, 22 years
I
old.
I know.
But also, just back to the beginning before we end, his song, the one that he broke through with, is a great song. It's a very sweet song.
It's a very sweet song. It makes me feel like I need to go grocery shopping when I hear it, because I'm typically in a grocery store when I do.
It's true. It's the Duane Reade song. It is a Duane Reade song for sure.
It's like my Pavlovian response is like, I need cilantro. Me hearing someone like you, mine, I'm like, oh fuck, I need more olive oil.
Mine is just going into the greeting card aisle and being like, is anyone having a birthday soon? You ever do that? Where you're like, you're browsing and you don't really want to go yet because you think there's still something you need, but you don't remember what it is. So you just start going into every aisle being like, do you ever do that?
Yes. Because you're just like,
is that relatable?
Like stockpile cards.
Yeah. But you never send them. You're just like,
oh. And then you find a card that you meant to send to someone's birthday 6 months ago and you're like, oh, I never sent this.
I would like to master the skill of not oversharing. I do tend to tell people a bit too much about me and like my bowel movements, and like every radio interview I've done, I have mentioned evacuating my bowels at some point. So I'd like to be able to rein all that in and, you know, not talk about. We were in Amsterdam the other week, and the whole interview was based around the fact that I had the shits, and that's all they wanted to talk about. And I was trying to steal the conversation away. You know, a new single's out, blah blah, and they were like, "But you shat your pants." It was like serious issues.
Next call, last call of the day, last call of the day.
Hey, Who Weekly. I was just wondering who the whos and thems are of fast food / chain restaurants, like Chipotle, Panera, McDonald's, them, Sweet Green, a who? Kava, a who? Do you guys even know what Kava is? Anyway, crunch, crunch. Love you guys.
I feel like I know what you're going to say, but say it anyway.
If the fast food chain is regional, it's a who. If it's national, it's a them.
I think that's really good and easy.
So your biggest your them fast food chains are the biggest fast food chains, the ones that are most
McDonald's.
Prolific.
McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King, Taco Bell, Dunkin'. Well, Dunkin's
national
now. Are you
looking at the list? Subway, McDonald's, Starbucks, KFC, Burger King, Pizza Hut, Domino's. Dunkin', number 8 on that list.
Panera.
Baskin-Robbins. You know what's funny, though? Have you ever heard of Hunt Brothers Pizza?
Never in my life.
So that's number 10 on the list of the largest fast food chains, but I've never heard of that in my whole life.
No, I don't know what that is. We're on different lists also.
But there are more Hunt Brothers pizzas than there are, according to this list, Orange Julius's, Papa John's, Dairy Queen's, Little Caesars. Tim Hortons is number 18. That's local, or feels local. This list is also international, so that's also another thing. Number 19 is a Chinese brand store, fast food store. Jollibee's even on here at number 23, which is mostly, it's a Filipino fast food store. That's the case. A little, some of them are in the U.S., but not many. My rule isn't necessarily, I don't know about my rule. I don't know after I said it.
I think it's a really good rule. I think if it's national, then it's fine. But some things, it's like Sonic is technically national, but it's just not very common outside of the South. You know, like there's one in New Jersey. There's one like way upstate. Like,
it's number 20 on this list.
But I still sort of think it's a who, even though it's national, you know? I sort of think the only thems are the ones that you can reasonably expect to be in any airport you go to in America, maybe. Like, if you walk around thinking that you are going to find it, if you walk around and are not surprised, that's the rule. If you walk around and are not surprised to see it in an airport, then it is a them. Like, if you see one and it just goes by you blankly.
You could also
But if I
just
walked
say,
around and I saw a Whataburger in an airport, I'd be like, oh, right. A Whataburger! And I would get like a million things, you know?
Sure.
What's your favorite regional fast food from like the Northeast that I probably haven't
not
heard
Dunkin',
of?
Not Dunkin', you mean?
Not Dunkin', yeah, not Dunkin'. And I mean food, not necessarily coffee, like a place to get kind of like a disgusting greasy burger or like chicken strips or something, or even like...
That's regional to the Northeast. Technically, New York is in that, though. So, like, Shake Shack would be part of that. I would say Shake Shack is special. Shake Shack is still something I walk by and I go, ooh. You know, like, oh, should I stop?
Yeah.
Even though I know it's a chain, even though I see it a lot, it's not the only one. In-N-Out is still special when you're in Los Angeles, even though it's a chain. The thing is, the true who chains are the ones where it's a chain, but there's only three of them or something. And you're just like, that's not, doesn't count.
Yeah. I think the other thing I would say is, I'm not sure... Because, like, fast food is getting healthier. People are more aware of things. They try to clean up, like, they're trying to make these restaurants a little nicer. But I still sort of think fast casual, like Chipotle, doesn't necessarily count.
What do you think about, do you think that it's a fast food is hooier when it's pretends to be healthy, like Sweetgreen? Like, are when the salad it, well, not, places it, all the hooiest, secretly the hooiest fast food restaurants?
When there's a lot of work to be done, when things can be customized, I don't know if that counts as fast food. I think fast food is like, there's a menu and you tell them what you want and
that's
it comes
true.
Out. Like,
that's true.
Chipotle, you walk down the line, you're watching it be prepared. Like McDonald's, I'm like, I want nuggets and fries and a McFlurry, and then it gets made in the back and then it shows up in a bag. Like, right. I'm not watching someone prepare it. And obviously one is better than the other in terms of quality, but it's like fast food is fast food.
Is the truth here really that McDonald's is the only them fast food and everything else is a who?
I think McDonald's, all these ones on the top 10 that I'm seeing, Taco Bell them, Burger King them, Wendy's them, Subway them, McDonald's them. Panera Bread, I wouldn't call them. No, because I feel like Panera's more of a fast casual. You sit down at Panera Bread, I think.
You can sit down.
You can, and you can sit down at all of these places, but I think Panera Bread, like, there's
Arby's?
Something a little...
What about Olive Garden? That's
Arby's.
Not fast food.
Arby's, them.
Olive
Jack
Garden
in the Box,
is,
them.
Is restaurant.
Whataburger, who?
Quiznos?
Jimmy John's, who?
Qdoba?
Zaxby's, I don't even know who you are, Zaxby's.
Oh, Zaxby's.
What chicken. Is this?
It's chicken.
You're like, they have them in Newton.
No, they don't. They don't.
Culver's, ice cream, who? I think that's it. I think there are maybe only six thems, and that's it. We've done them.
But fast
Chipotle
food is
doesn't count.
So what's interesting is that fast food, while being universal in its creation, is so regional in many ways. Yeah. Where you go depends on what the number one thing is. You know, they like, you know, if you go to Texas, like Whataburger is the
Whataburger, Taco food. Cabana.
Fast
Taco
food
Cabana,
king,
number
right?
one fast food in the whole world. Talk
In
Taco
and
Cabana,
Out
Whataburger
is
king.
Huge in California. So you have these regional fast food Bojangles, which I had never heard of until I went to, you know, North Carolina. It's everywhere, right? I bet if you haven't been to New York, you haven't heard of Sbarro. That's wild, but like that's fine, you know? I do think it's very, very regional in terms of that.
Chick-fil-A,
stuff.
Problematic.
And as you know,
them,
we don't really like to do like who's and thems of states. So this is related to that. Remember the who's and thems of states debacle? We were like, never again.
Never, 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 never. Never been that close to being canceled. Are we done? I think we're done.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do who or them this time. We like to save them up. Although there are some wild ones on this list that we almost did. Like, what the hell are you all thinking? I love it so much. Thank you so much for listening to Who Weekly. We'll be back on Tuesday with another episode. Have a great weekend. This is the big holiday party weekend, isn't it? Like, everyone's got their holiday parties this weekend.
Don't say that in case people, what if people don't have them?
Well, I feel like this weekend and next weekend are like the last two.
I know, but if people weren't invited to them, they'll feel bad. So we don't need to point out that it's the big
I'm
holiday
just saying,
party.
If you're having, just have a good weekend, whatever you're doing. Review us on Apple Podcasts if you have some spare time. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook if you want really fun content. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly if you want even funner content.
Funner.
And we will call 619-WHO-THEM if you have any questions, comments, concerns for next week's Who's There. Bye. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You or Jayla? Yo,
they wanna know.
Hey.
Mia.
Hey.
Mia.
Come on. Hey. I want to be famous.